and gentlemen, welcome to the 80s Flophouse Podcast. My name is Richie. I'm sitting here with my four favorite godfathers, Ryan, Tony, Jimmy, Dusty, and a big welcome to our listening audience. We appreciate you today. It's a very special podcast. It's Father's Day. So before we get started, this is worth noting. Last week, we published our 25th podcast together. So thank you, guys. Good job.
Woo-hoo!
Pleasure. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's... throw on our favorite Cosby sweaters. Let's lace up our New Balance shoes. And everybody watch while I try to tuck in a dress shirt. Let's go.
Dude, your intros are the best.
Come on, Rich. Good.
Shirt's tucked into your underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's the new thing.
Yeah. Those of you that wear them.
Oh, careful, Tony. Really?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
I liked it.
Tony is so in shape that he can tuck in his untucked shirt brand that he buys.
Yeah. Get out.
He can tuck those in.
No.
So
yeah.
You know, yeah, he's jacked.
I'm totally in the untucked, but it's kind of like the next stage to muumuus. Like pretty soon we'll just be wearing muumuus. So this is how it's going to work. But
I don't know, Ryan. When I saw you with that, I saw you in the gym this morning with your shirt open. I was pretty impressed.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was cut up.
Yeah. A picture you sent all of us.
We'll have to show something like that on the socials. Show my new bod.
Dude, post that, man.
Dude, it's next level rash guard. You guys are making fun of me on my rash guard. That's next level.
Did you wear that in front of your family?
Oh, I just wore it at the beach. I was down there, at Shark's Cove in Hawaii. I'm sporting it. People are like double taking watching me walk on the beach.
Were you kind of sticking it out a little bit? Like,
oh, easy. I'm kind of forced to, you know. I kind of stick my chest out when I walk, and then I just see all these people watching me. Like, I'm snorkeling out in Shark's Cove, and I come up and pop up on my chest, and we're like, whoa. And then they're like, ah.
that dude's yoked,
but it looks so good. Like when I was that picture where I had my Aloha shirt, I looked like Magnum PI.
Fully. Dude, that was awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Sweet,
it's good stuff. I guess y'all get one. Yeah, Momoa. Yeah, I think my next one I'm getting tatted up. I'm gonna get all tatted up on that one.
I want to get one that's really hairy on the front and back.
They have those, Jimmy.
Yeah, I want that one.
This one's kind of embarrassing because, if I leave it untucked, it has a little hair going down underneath the belly button. But it, like, goes way too long. So I'm like, it's kind of, you know, my daughter is like, Dad, you're going to tuck that thing in because that's just not right. Yeah, so it's pretty realistic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Too realistic.
Hey, Jim, I wanted to say congrats on your Nuggets, man.
Yeah, Nuggets did it. They won.
Congrats.
That's something.
It was awesome.
It's been a long time.
47 coming. Long years.
Yeah.
Love it. It was brutal.
Beat all those play-in teams.
See?
Yeah.
See?
Oh,
there you go, Dustin. Always throwing water on somebody's parade.
Yeah. Wasn't Phoenix one of those play-in teams?
No, they weren't.
Oh.
Throwing
but they beat them, right?
Away. Yeah, they did.
Pretty good, right?
Congrats, you beat one team.
Oh.
Just one, okay.
You know, it's pretty impressive when a white guy is one of the best players in the NBA. That's very impressive.
Yep. Especially when you see him run, you're like, this guy cannot play basketball. The way he runs, it's like he might be in, you know, Special Olympics basketball, but.
Dude, he takes the ball up court like a point guard.
Yeah. But after he makes a basket and he's running away, wiping his nose on his shirt, it's like, what's wrong with this kid?
No, but he's good, man. He's ridiculous.
Awesome. He's unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
I just can't believe that no talent can put up those kind of numbers.
Oh, dang.
Here we trash go. Game. Yeah. But yes, you're right. Kick the shit out of the sun. So
And the Lakers, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down on the Lakers. Whew.
Yeah.
I think that was a swept the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Wow.
So what are we left with, guys? We're left with baseball? I mean, what? Yeah. What do we do next?
Hey. Don't shade that way, Richie.
Yeah.
You know, College World Series is coming up soon, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
4 months.
So aren't they Tony, aren't they doing something to get the ratings back up on baseball? Like what are they shortening innings? What are they doing? There's stuff going on.
Man, baseball What's going on? Always has and always will be America's game, man. It's still my favorite. And they put a pitch clock in. They got the bases clock, a little bigger. Yeah, made the bases a little bigger. The batters have 8 seconds to get in and get set. You know, just move the game on a little bit, you know.
What do you think about the pitch clock?
See, for me, I don't mind. Like, I'm one of these freaks that wouldn't mind sitting for 3 hours and watching a game. But most people, I think it's good. I think it's good for the sport. I mean, I think most people, you know, they're good after about an hour and a half.
What is it? What's the time they get? How long they get to?
20 seconds.
20 seconds 20 to seconds. Throw the pitch. And then what happens if they don't?
It's
a walk, right?
It's a ball. No, they just call it a ball.
A ball.
For real.
If there's three balls already, it could be a walk. And then another thing is the pitcher can only disengage from the mound twice. Then if he throws over, it has to be an out. Otherwise, it's a balk, which means the batter gets the next base. So
Dang. Yeah. Okay, this will make it interesting.
Also, if the batter steps out, it's a strike.
You'll start watching, Jimmy.
It is, Dusty. You're right, Dusty. If the batter steps out, it's a strike.
Okay.
So, moving the game along.
Yeah, good. Jimmy's going to be all over, aren't you, Jimmy? You're going to watch it.
Yeah, when I want to take a nap. If Bob Ross isn't on.
Background noise, Jimmy?
Yeah.
What's with the long pants? Why the long pants?
Well, nowadays they're rocking the dirty mids. That's the new thing they call them. You know, for a while they had the guys that were wearing their pants all the way up, like the football pants with their knees showing. Well, first it was the long, then it was knees up. Now it's dirty mids is what they're calling them. So, yeah, there's a little, you know, style that goes on into baseball. So
I think they got to bring back the long socks and the. You know,
the stirrups.
There we go.
That's the sanitaries.
That's so sharp.
Speaking of that, my old man league started this Saturday, and we rolled off with our first win.
Yeah. Whoa.
We beat the Pinchy Yankees.
Yeah.
Nice.
We got funny names in our league. So
Pinchy. Hey, it's okay. It's okay if I tell my friends and family that you play for the Angels. That's what I do. So is that okay?
Yeah.
It's just easier that way.
That's my Sunday league team, the Halos. Yeah, they're awesome, man. We get to play in the big boy stadium once a year, so it's fun.
Cool. You know,
all of us old men that pretend and can't let things go. So
yeah. Nice.
It's fun.
Well, hey, we got some graduations happen, right, Tony?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My baby girl. She got up and she sang, and then
she
graduated.
Sang?
Yeah. She's part of the choir, so they sang for graduation, and it was really cool.
That's awesome. Got
to give her a big hug and kiss afterwards, and it was awesome. So I'm proud of her. Super proud of her. I think her plans are to go on to my old alma mater, Biola University, and she wants to do. She wants to become a song therapist. I guess it's like therapy through singing,
like occupational therapy, but using singing and okay.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
it's really
proud
cool.
of her. Super proud of her. What about you, man? You had a graduation. I saw your boy hit the gritty.
He did the gritty across the stage.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. And then you notice the guy, Trey's friend of ours. He wouldn't give him his diploma. Like, he was like holding it behind his back.
I saw that.
Oh, that was good. Trey's actually a listener on the podcast. Hey, Trey. Shout out. He's the one that gives all the diplomas to all the kids every year. So
awesome.
But good times. Jesse's graduating. He's here with us in Hawaii, and you know we're having some good times. So yeah, it's special time, as you know.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Awesome.
I got two more to go, and Richie's got two more to go. Yeah. Craziness.
Dose.
Pups. Young pups.
Very cool. Well, guys, let's jump into the episode. Again, we're talking about Father's Day and fatherhood and all those special things. So I'm going to hand it over to Tony, and he's going to lead our discussion on a happy, happy Father's Day.
Yes. All you papas out there, happy Father's Day from the 80s Flophouse podcast. Special time. I know we all have special memories, and it's cool to be a dad. And I got to start off with a funny little story since it's going to be Father's Day to my dad, Ed. He's old school, and it was funny because a buddy of ours, Larry, called last week with the memory of my dad, and I thought it was kind of cool. And I'd mentioned it previously on the podcast, so I'll keep it short. But we were at the drive-in one night, and we had too many cold snacks. So Larry actually threw me over his shoulder and carried me all the way home from the drive-in to our house. When we got home, it was late, and you know, the cold snacks. And also my dad greeted us at the door and grabbed Larry and shoved him onto the couch and picked me up and was like threatening to beat us in an inch of our lives. But Dad, thanks for caring about us and always looking after us. But anyways, so I wanted to know, how old were you guys when you became a father? You know, what age were you? What memories do you have? You know, what was it like? Do you have any stories of that time? Start off with you, Rich.
Sure. Well, I was quite old, actually. I was 36 when we had our first child, and when we first had my son. And what stands out for me is, like, I had this guilt going into it, like maybe I hadn't studied enough or read enough books to know if I was going to be a good dad. It just, there was so much going on in our lives. I didn't really spend a lot of time with that. But then, you know, subsequently, every time my friends had kids, I always just told them, hey, you're going to learn naturally what to do, and you don't need to worry about that kind of stuff. But when we were in the hospital and my wife delivered, all I can remember is that she had a C-section. So as soon as my son was born, they like wrapped him up and just like handed him to me. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, all right, we're done. I was like, so I'm just going to hold him here. And they showed me back to her room where she would, you know, where we would stay the next couple of days. But yeah, that was eye-opening.
Yeah, quite an experience, fatherhood and having a baby for the first time and holding him. It's like, wow.
Something.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about you guys? What about the rest of you guys? Rhino?
Oh, yeah. So, man, what a life changer for sure. So I was 30, my first with Jonah. And wow, you know, that was I mean, I've had fond memories with all five of my kids, but you know, that was the first. So everything was brand new, didn't know what to expect. And we went through all the classes, you know, all the, what do they call them? I can't
Lamas.
Remember. Lamas. Yeah. Lamas. So we went through how to breathe, all that stuff. We had a focal picture, you know, that she, you know, that seemed to go out the window though, during labor. It's just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Did your wife get pissed at you?
she get pissed at me, but I was trying to hold this picture, this focal point in her face. And she's like, you know, just like, that's what we were taught to do. Look at the picture. Anyway. But it was something. It was just, from just holding them, like Rich said, was like all this, like, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I fit to be a parent? And all these things run through your mind. And I just totally, you know, it changed me that day. But, just, you know, the learning part, you know, car seats, how to put the car seats in, you know, the clothes, the diapers, the staying up at night. Wow. I mean, it's an incredible experience. And one, you know, having kids is obviously one of the fondest memories that I'll hold dear in my life. I think it's just amazing to be a father. What a privilege. So,
right on.
Nice.
Right on.
Ryan, that reminds me, we had a scheduled C-section. So we were taking pictures that morning, like, this is so cute and awesome. And we're laughing, going out to the car, taking pictures. And we show up, and we were 2 hours late. So we walked into the hospital, and they're like, oh, my God, we got to get you ready. And it just went bam, bam, bam. And we were, like, kind of freaking out during that process. But, yeah, you learn quickly.
Yeesh. My wife, when she had our first one, our daughter, I was 31, and like she wanted to listen to Enya and, you know, some nice, relaxing music. So, you know, it was induced. So start playing the music, and she's like, oh, this isn't bad. And like 2 hours later, it's like, turn off the music. Can't concentrate. It's giving me a headache. Do you have to stand that close to me? Quit breathing. You're breathing on me. I can feel your hot breath.
But now she hates Enya to this day, right?
No, now it's a happy memory, but you know, Betty's like the vacuum to get her out. Like, so when she came out, she had like this, her head was kind of like a cone head, but on the side. And I told my wife, I'm like, please, let's get her a top hat. Please, can we get a top hat just to cover that thing up? It's like, no, it'll grow back. I'm like, oh, God, I hope so.
That's funny. Oh, my goodness.
So mine, I was 26, but my wife already had two kids, so I had that experience to fall back on. So I wasn't too worried about that, but when he was born was my first day of grad school in summer school. So drop her off at the hospital, go to class, actually go to the office, let them give her the phone number. Hey, if my wife calls, come and get me. And which didn't happen. Dusty. So I finished school, back to the hospital, got the video camera set up on a tripod, all that first dad stuff. And then after that he was born, went and picked them up the next day, took him home, ran back to school for class, and that's all I did. School, work, back and forth.
My goodness.
And then she would wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be out, she's looking for the baby, and I got him out in the living room because that's the only time I could see him.
Wow.
Jeez.
The funny thing about recording a birth is like I've done it three times, and all three times I get so excited that I put the camera down and I'm just like looking and talking with the camera beside me. So you're like looking at the back of the room. It's like, I'm such an idiot.
That's funny. Well, hey, I'm sure that a lot of the dads out there have similar experiences. Feel free to share them with us. Email us at hello@the80sFlophousePodcast. And hit us up on social media. We'd love to hear your stories of fatherhood. Maybe you had something funny or crazy that happened, and we would love to share it with the audience, and we would love to put it on our social media. So send it to us, please. Rich, it's funny when you were talking about car seats. So I have two memories of sheer panic with our first child, Caleb. And I was like, I was in the garage for, I kid you not, probably 45 minutes, just sweat dripping down me, the front of my shirt sweaty. I'm trying to make sure I got this car seat in right. I'm looking at the directions. I'm like, God, it just feels loose. It doesn't feel right. And like, no matter how perfect I got it, it just in my head, it didn't seem right. So the whole time driving to the hospital, I'm like, oh man, this car seat's not right. So, you know, he comes out fast. I mean, just, it's like, wow, here it is. Same thing. Here he is. And then, you know, the next day go home, and it's like, oh shoot. Like go home. Like there's no instructions. Where's it? Where's the little paper pamphlet? Like, are you going to give us anything? Like what are we supposed to do with this? And so when he was get him in the car seat, and I check it, and I'm like latched, and I'm and like, he's in one of the little tiny, cause he's just tiny little dude. So I'm like, got him all buckled in, and I'm like, oh God, I hope this is right. And I'm driving down the 55 freeway, and I'm like in the slow lane with the hazards on, you know, Why are these people driving so fast? Slow down. Exactly. Come on. Don't you know I got a baby in the car? It's just like, just became this like really weirdo, this really weird dude. You know, it's like you have a kid, all of a sudden it's like, you know, hedge of protection, you know,
yeah,
the electric fence around him type thing. It's like, geez. And then by the time you have your third, it's like, oh, whatever, do whatever you want.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so funny. I was such a car seat snob when it came to cars. Like, I learned how to do that and get it cinched in there, super tied to the anchors, whatever. You know, if the car didn't have the anchors, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm taking them in there. I'm not, I don't know. But I can remember being so judgy too. Like, other people have kids and I'm like, I tell my wife, did you see the way they put that car seat in there?
Yeah.
It's just hanging. Like, who would do that? You know? And, but like you said, Tony, the next kid is just like, snap it in. It's fine. You don't have to. That's good.
The third one's getting out. It's so loose. Playing with the other two. And you're like, it's all fine. Good. It's fine. Hey, could you put your sister back in the car seat, please?
Yeah, exactly. Just put your arm over her. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, God. It's just craziness. Craziness.
How do you think it changed you? I mean, I briefly described to you guys how it changed me. It made me my first one kind of I was a freak over my first one. And I think I have to apologize to my son, Caleb, because I made it so about me. Like, I want to do this right. I want to be the perfect dad. I want to make sure that I get him in everything. I want to make sure that we have him reading by this age and saying his alphabet by this age. And like, I want him to behave properly. And, you know, it was just over the top, you know, and I'm like, hey, Caleb, I'm sorry, man. every mistake that I made, it was out of love, dude. It was totally out of love. Sorry if I messed you up, buddy.
I know the first are like the test case. I mean, seriously, like my son couldn't touch sweets. I don't know, till he was five. I can't remember, maybe. And then I just remember, this is so bad, but like all the kid shows we made him watch in Spanish. And so like,
you're going to speak three languages before you go to school, kid.
Yeah. And so one time he went out with his uncle, they went to his friend's house or something. And Jonah gets home. I think he's three. He was so jazzed. He's like, Mom, Dad, guess what? Toy Story is in English now. He was so excited. He's like, oh yeah, okay, thanks Uncle Chris for introducing him to. But yeah, we had him listen to Muzzy, and we had him doing all these, like, I don't know, you guys remember Beethoven?
All of that stuff, everything.
You just throw it all at them, like, this will make them smarter, this will get it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. The type of toys. We were insane. Just insane with our first one.
Now that my daughter's like 23, 24, whenever she does something stupid, I look at her and I go, you used to listen to Baby Beethoven. What's wrong with you?
It says right here that you're supposed to be smart.
Be smart.
That's so funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and the types that, like, the red, blacks, and whites for the crib toys, that's the colors supposed to stimulate. I mean, gosh. Dude. Too much. And then the rest of the kids just got whatever.
Exactly. Dude, I remember being so over the top that I would be like, okay, what did he get on this paper? And like, it's kindergarten. Dude, am I tripping about? It's kind of like, whoa, dude, he got a, are you guys giving A's or what are we doing here to the teacher? You know, I'd go in, Mr. Castillo, your son's, he's great. He's fine.
I don't know if you guys ever experimented with like white noise to help your kids like go to sleep, but you could get CDs that were just white noise. My poor son. So we had a little boom box, you know, like on his changing table, and I'd put on the white noise and he'd be asleep, and I had like the remote for it, and I'd turn it off and he'd wake up. I turned it on back on and he'd fall back asleep. So I was just playing him on the remote control.
Just playing him.
Yeah. Pavlov's.
So but he turned out pretty good. He's a good
kid.
We're all blessed. Did.
Yeah, you know, the what really got me was like the sleeping thing, you know. So, you know, putting them down and letting them cry it out. And I don't know. We were just too much of a wimp. Like I know, Rich, I think you mentioned, and I don't know if you mentioned it, but you're talking about earlier, is about sleeping on the floor in nursery. Yeah,
that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. Well, I actually one stepped up. I got in the crib with them.
In the crib?
In the crib. I was in the crib.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a weight limit on that.
Well, I know, but I was just going for it. I was so tired, and I wasn't. But you know what? He broke us. We didn't break him because we couldn't do the crying through the night thing and getting him. And maybe we could have, and we would have stuck with him. But we, from that moment on, it was family bed for us. Like, the kids slept in our bed, and then all five of the kids, our youngest still slept. Like, she hasn't graduated from the bed, so that's going to happen soon. I'm sure she's 12. But, so the family bed has been the Gunter household from that point on. It wasn't nurseries, not cribs. So, anyway, that's just us.
That's you can text me later if you want me to cut that out.
it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah. We did the opposite. We locked the bedroom door. They couldn't come in.
They're pounding on the door at night, Dustin scratching on it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
No, I used to sleep on the floor, and my son just used to get up. He'd wake up randomly and run down the hallway. So, like, I'd be sleeping on the floor of his room. Like, I'd doze off, then I'd kind of sneak out. But I fell asleep, and he bolts and, like, jumps off the bed and, like, runs over my face, just smashes into me. I'm like, no, bud, I'm right here, pal.
Gotcha.
Go to work with a black eye. But
you have to shoestring tackle him on the way out.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember one night. I mean, this is so – I think back, like, how – naive I was. So he can't talk, or you know, he could barely pull himself up on the crib a little bit, and he'd cry, and I'd go in there and I'd do the same thing. I got a little pillow and a blanket, you know, because I was exhausted, and I would just lay there and I'd be like, okay, buddy. I'd be talking to him, dad's right here, you know, I'm right here, buddy, you can lay down. And I'd lay him down, and he'd get back up, and he'd just stare at me through the little bars, and I'd be like, dad's right here. Right here, you know, and I'm talking to this infant like he understands what I'm saying. I'm like, he has no clue what I'm saying, but anyways.
The whole sleeping thing, that's why we quit having kids, because I was like 40 by the time, or 36, 37. I'm like, we can't have any more kids. I need my sleep. I love them, but I think we're done here.
Yeah.
This is it. I'm done, because I cannot do the sleep, no sleep thing.
Yeah.
So.
I remember the kids were begging me for the longest time for a puppy. Mm. And I'm like, there's no way after three kids, I'm like, a puppy is like, I'm like, all right, you guys are getting up with it. And sure enough, dude, it was me every night taking that puppy out to go to the bathroom. And, you know, I was just like, oh, I was so angry at myself for giving into that. I was just like, oh my God, here I go again. No sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We got a puppy one time, and it was one of those where we had a party the night before, and I had to get up at like 3 and let the dog out. I went to bed at probably 1:30, take the dog outside, and I am just, my eyes are closed. I'm just waiting for the dog to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, I'm outside. I'm going to just go pee here. So I start peeing, and I'm like, that sounds different. I look down, I'm peeing right on the dog. So I'm super tired. I got to take the dog inside and give it a bath now because I peed all over it. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, just marking my territory. This is my dog.
My dog.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's perfect.
Well, on that note, let's throw it over to Rich to get to know the floppers.
My gosh, Rich isn't ready again. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Do you want me to tell a quick story while you're doing that, Richie?
Yeah,
go okay, for it, Jimmy.
So this is how times have changed. I was about 10 years old, so it would have been 1978. and I saved up like 50 cents to get my Father's Day gift. So I go to the corner store and I said, can I get a package of Marlboros? And they're like, you're not going to smoke those, are you? And I said, no, they're for my dad for Father's Day. And they're like, okay, here you go.
How old were you, Jimmy?
Like 10.
Got a pack of Cools.
Did you roll them up in your sleeves when you took them home?
No, I was so afraid I was going to crush them. I was carrying them with both hands in front of me.
Oh, that's a good sign, Jimmy.
So, he was super psyched for him, though.
Did you guys hear, have you seen that, their episode on, I think it was on Instagram, about the store, the liquor store that sold to underage kids, the minors?
Yeah, where they'll sell
it to them, but they wouldn't give it to them until they turn 21. Yeah. Yeah. So they say, yeah. And so they'd go up to the liquor store and the register say, so you're going to sell it to me? And what do you want? I'd like a case of beer. And they're like, okay, great. Gives him money, rings him up. And he's like, I'm going to put it right here in the back. And when you're 21, you come get it.
Keep that receipt because it's really important.
That's not right.
That is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, guys. Let's jump into Get to Know the Flophouse Crew. And, of course, we're talking about Father's Day, so I wanted to keep it theme appropriate, so I asked all the boys, what do you think the largest animal you could take in a fight? No weapons allowed, but what's the largest animal you think you could take? So let's run through their answers, and we'll guess who picked what.
Can't wait to hear these.
Let's go to the first one. Someone said, I could take a mountain lion.
Wow.
Barehanded.
What?
Mountain lion.
That's some hubris right there.
That's got to be Tony.
Dust, why you always got to throw the bucket of water on me, man? Jeez.
I think it's Rich because Rich probably read something because he always hikes in the mountains on how to take down a mountain lion if you get attacked.
I'm going to go with Rich.
Is that it? Brian, what about you?
Oh, I'll go with Rich too. Yeah, that sounds good.
No, that's an incorrect answer, Ryan. Because it was you. You said you could take a mountain lion.
Yeah, I
want to hear how that happens. Take them.
Well, you know, it's gone through my head many times. I live in mountain lion territory, and I walk the kid. You know, I walk with the kids. We go on hikes, and I always thinking, okay, what would happen if a mountain lion came? How would I defend my family? And like,
throw the youngest one at him.
Yeah.
And run.
Sorry, you're the youngest. I'm not that attached to you yet.
Exactly. I have a story about that, but No, but I seriously think, and it's funny because Rich brought that up, and I had a dream last night about a mountain lion attacking the family, and I went after him, but I don't remember what I did, like with maneuvers. But it's funny that Rich even brought that up because it just right away mountain lion, because I'm always thinking like I have these mental, you know, images of me climbing on the back of a mountain lion. He's running on the neck. It happened. It's so bizarre. But I always think of that. I just think of like, yeah.
Can we call fact or flop on that one? I think that's a flop. There is no way you can beat up a mountain lion, dude.
Yeah, I know. I could take him. It's all about positive thinking and going through your mind and how you would do it. I've been thinking about it for years, so I can do it. Totally can do
so
it.
So if you come face to face with a mountain lion, try to get away first, buddy. Yeah. Just for me, try to get away first before you square up, okay?
No, I'm squaring up. I'm squaring up, Jimmy.
Ryan,
go ahead. Yeah.
I have one piece of advice. If you do happen, when you go hiking next time, you make sure you wear that buff rash guard just in case you see a lion.
There you go.
You spread that thing open and you just show them. Yeah. You just show them how ripped you are.
Yeah, it's funny how that makes me feel stronger and too. Like I feel like I'm buff when I wear that thing. Anyway,
it's like you're a little kid. You put your like Superman suit Superman on, tape, the little pillowcase, and you ran around the house.
Totally. Hey, I have to come. I have to tell this story though, because it goes along with what Jimmy said. Just throwing our youngest kid to the mountain lion. I was living in North Carolina, and I had a dog named Jake, yellow lab named Jake. And so we were out at the, I lived in an apartment complex near the university, and Jake is just a happy lab, you know, just going, and he went right for this lady. This lady was another complex over, and she was freaking out, and he was just, he wanted to play, but he just ran at her. She grabs her little like toddler, maybe 2 years old, and starts beating off the dog with her with the 2 year old kid, like grabbing him by the arms and like swinging him towards the dog. Wow. It's like, oh my gosh, he just wants to play. But yeah, she sacrificed the kid. Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's what you got to do.
That is wild.
Yeah, crazy.
Wild.
Anyway.
All right. Next up, somebody said they could choke out a roadrunner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
You could choke out a roadrunner.
Wow. Very
fast. A little different than a mountain lion.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
You're
Rich.
A little over the top, Ryan. But,
yeah, I guess I was.
It seems a bit more reasonable.
It'd be hard to catch a roadrunner.
Yeah.
Well, if you're fighting them, they're coming towards you. You're just not out there hunting. You're fighting. Okay. You're fighting for your life with a roadrunner.
Okay.
So.
Right. Okay, that must be Jimmy, then.
Jimmy.
No, I'm just defending Dustin's position.
I'm going with Red. You got to think like a coyote, though.
It's one of the Arizona boys.
That's true. That's true, Doug.
So who do we got?
Roadrunners are vicious, and so I picked I could choke out a roadrunner. They're a violent animal. Yes.
Right, Rich. They're nice, like the big as my thumb. Yes.
Well, I could control the head, and that's what I was thinking of. It's like okay, mountain lion too big. But okay. Roadrunner, yes. All right, next up, someone said Bambi. they could take Bambi in a fight.
Okay. Jimmy can handle that.
That's not Jimmy. Me. Oh, that's not me. I don't think I could take Bambi. No way.
Must be Tony then.
I'm thinking maybe Dustin.
Well, could be Dusty.
But I think Dust.
Okay, the real answer is Tony. Tony could.
Tony.
Okay,
nice, so Bambi.
There's a little background on this. So I was thinking, I'm like, okay, realistically, if I was somewhere with my family and a wild animal attacked, what's realistically one that I could just take down and take care of? And Rich sent the email, and I was thinking deer in the beginning because, and then I realized I sent that to you guys in the group. So I didn't know who saw it or who didn't see it.
I didn't.
I sent it in the group. So. And I thought, I thought to myself, well, hold on. What size is this? Like is this a 10 point buck? Ooh, I don't know. That might be, you'd have to get that thing around the horns and snap its neck or something. That might be, I don't know. Maybe Bambi, you know, if Bambi came after and started attacking, you know, one of the dogs or the animals, something, I could grab that thing and just, you know, take care of it right away without getting too graphic, you know.
Now, would Bambi have like the nubs, the little nubs?
No, not that old.
They can sharpen them, those nubs against a tree. They can poke
you. You know how when they can barely walk, they got like those.
He's thinking of Bambi slipping on the ice. That's when he would attack.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I love wild it. Animals. I've been, you know, I hunted a good part of my life. Wild animals, man, they're no joke, man. It's to take Agreed. Down a mountain lion. That's something, man. I'm glad to know, Ryan.
Yeah. I didn't say bear because bear would be too easy, man.
Dude,
too easy.
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. Anyway,
I like the bravado though.
Yeah.
Let's go camping. All right, last two answers, so it's not too easy. One person said a bunny rabbit, and the other said a fainting goat.
A fainting goat? Wow, you guys. The bar was so low, I didn't realize it was that low.
I'm going to go with fainting goat Jimmy and bunny rabbit Dusty. That's what I'm going to go with.
Is everybody else comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have goats or something? Or
no, but I've seen the fainting goats in real life.
Oh, and I'm like, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, it, if you make a loud noise, they like fall over. I'm like, oh, I could take one of those out so easy. So easy. Get Brian's muscle shirt and take that off, have him yeah. faint. And then you lay down, you choke them, put your fingers in their nostrils like Jim Carrey did in Me, Myself, and Irene. That's the way to do it.
Oh, no, man. I like Batman. This topic because I was watching YouTube just the other day, and I saw this video of a mom who grabbed a raccoon who was attacking her daughter, like at the front door. And this mom just like literally by the neck lifted up the raccoon and just yeeted him, just threw him off the deck. Got yeah. a good 20 feet on it. So I thought it was a great topic.
That is. Dusty, what's your strategy on the bunny rabbit?
Well, my strategy, I think, was more like yours. I was kind of going up the food chain, going, all right, where do I stop? And, you know, does something have claws like a mountain lion?
And sharp teeth.
Yeah. At first, I thought maybe like a cow. You know, I could always get on a cow tipping. And, you know, choke it out. But at some point, if you're trying to choke it out, it's going to start bucking. So,
yeah.
Cows kill more people than overturned soda machines. So, and sharks. Oh. Cows kill more people than sharks, too.
For real? So,
yep. Wow. So, I got a bunny story for you, Dustin. Last night, I'm sleeping. About 2:30, I hear this beep, 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 downstairs. I'm like, what is going on? Now, we have a doggy door, so our dogs can come and go as they please, and so can the cat. I get downstairs. The cat has a baby bunny trapped in a corner. And usually I'm like, if she brings in a mouse or whatever, I'm like, just kill it. Let's get this done. I don't want to chase it around the house. Get it killed, you know. But with the bunny, I'm like, come on. I can't let it kill a baby bunny. So me, the cat, and my dogs are chasing this bunny around the downstairs, just going around and around. I finally get the bunny. Take it outside and release it. My dogs thought that was the best thing ever. They were so happy they couldn't even go back to sleep. I could hear them all night just walking around downstairs.
Good job, Dad.
Whoa, that was so exciting. Best day of my life. That's so funny.
Oh, hey, Dust, do you remember the bunny rabbit story that we had from Ty's house?
No.
He had a party down at his house, and there was a bonfire. Do you remember that?
No.
You have? Okay. So it's kind of a sad story. So Ty was having this party. I don't know if it was a housewarming party, but it was quite a while ago. And we were all out in the backyard hanging out, having drinks, and he decides, hey, let's have a bonfire. Awesome. And out in this field, bunch of pallets, like old pallets. It was even before it was a landscape. So there was just some random pallets out there. So Ty, you know, grabs some gasoline and he pours it on the pallets and he lights it up and it's like poof. And everybody's like, yeah. And we're sitting there and like a minute later, I look over at Ty and his face is just, he just goes white as a sheet. I'm like, dude, what's wrong? He's like, nothing. And I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? And he's like, there was a family of bunnies that were like, their burrow was out in the pallets and he forgot about it. We're all just having fun. And like, you could hear the bunnies.
Oh, yeah. Stop. No. Rich, no.
It was bad.
Bad. Oh, man.
That makes me cringe. You know, oof. And bunnies, that hurts. That
they scream, too.
But they scream, yeah. Like my first experience hunting out of 410, and we were hunting rabbits or quail, whatever happened to pop out at the time. I think it was quail season. But I shot a bunny, and I hit him in his paw. And he was just crying. Like, just, So that just, almost made me want to throw my gun in the fire.
I gotta tell another Ed story on that one because that brought this to mind. So I was out. I had a little 410 too, and I was out rabbit hunting. And my dad had a rule: anything you kill, we eat.
For sure.
you catch it, we bring it home, we eat it. I don't, you're not, if I ever see you or catch you just killing something for the sake of killing it, your gun's gone and you're in big trouble. So we lived by that. And still to this day, you know, if we go out quail hunting or whatever, we eat everything, and fishing too. And so I my dad told me, make sure it's got a white tail, because cottontails are very good. You know, they're good eating. We'll prepare them. And so I'm like, all right. So I shot a jackrabbit. I'm like, oh. And my dad goes, too bad. You're eating them. Oh, dude.
Gamey. Have fun with that.
A little bit gamey.
Oh my gosh. Those things were massive, those jackrabbits out on the mesa. Man. It was
huge.
It was a huge, Gee. So how was it?
Oh, dude. I had to drink a lot of soda pop to gag that thing down. And my dad was not letting me get away with it either. He's like, nope, you're eating that thing. So I think one time me and Jerry, or I can't remember who it was, but I caught a carp, and my dad's all, you better put that thing back in the water right now, otherwise you're eating it. I couldn't get that thing off the hook fast enough. I was like, I do not want to eat this carp.
I do not want that.
So,
we went to Florida to visit my mother-in-law and her husband, and her husband takes me out on the boat to go fishing. I'm not a big out, like, fishing, hunting. I'm not that guy. I'll do it, whatever, but it's not my thing. So we're fishing and we catch, you know, some fish, and we're going to have them for dinner that night. And we take them out, and he just like starts skinning them. I'm like, shouldn't we knock them out or anything? And he's like, they don't feel it. And I'm like the fish is curling up when he's skinning them. I'm like, that's kind of the motion I would make if you were skinning me.
You're like, how do you know? Did you talk to the fish? Yeah.
So he took a beer bottle and hit it on the head a couple times.
God. That'll do.
Yeah.
Since we're on the animals, I know I have one more story. But I was home in Washington before I came to Hawaii, and there's this menace bear out there that is just causing all kinds of havoc in our neighborhood. Well, neighborhood and our hillside. Not much of a neighborhood, but he is like, so just for example, we got the UPS guy, the FedEx guy, dropped a package off at the door. I went out, literally, it was probably 20 minutes. The bear ripped it up, like, and just like shredded it. It was a pot. It was like a ceramic pot. And then, and like, he'll run up, like Jesse's friends will drive up into the driveway, and he runs up like a dog to meet him. It's just like, this bear is like dangerous. Yeah. And it was so funny. I got, maybe I'll share it on my social media, but my son was watching. There's this lady who does this mosquito testing out in the woods there. So she pulls up in the driveway, and she's in the back putting her shoes on. And, this bear pops out in the right out, like, from here to, like, you know, like the other side of this room. And just pops up looking, and in the, he snapped it, and he said, this lady's about to get clapped. She didn't even see it, but they were all watching him and his friends. So yeah, we got to get that bear removed when we get back. He's just a little too friendly. Yeah,
especially when your kids are playing death game with games with the mailman and stuff. Are you guys gonna warn him? No, let's see if he gets eaten.
Don't tell him, just watch and see.
Yeah. It's gonna ruin my Snapchat.
Yeah, you didn't think about warning him. It's just like, this lady's about to get clapped. So bad.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
oh
my. I was gonna say,
all right, that's a wrap. We all know each other really well. Let's get to know the Flophouse crew. Yeah, we're gonna jump to. Yeah, you had some good stories this week, but I think you're gonna be able to top that. We're gonna cut over to embarrassing moments in time. And just as a reminder, each of us has went and talked about an embarrassing moment we had in the 80s. And I'll do a quick recap. We had Jimmy, who is visiting a high school girlfriend, got caught by the dad in his tidy whities, gets caught on a fence and choked out. We got Tony, who had a hot mess barium enema from with a school teacher, and a nasty evacuation left everyone stunned. And you had my pose down nightmare at a fraternity house, and a bunch of peeping toms watched an unforgettable physical specimen. And then lastly, Dusty got caught on Mill Avenue going out at night, ticketed by a mounted police officer for jaywalking and booze, and he may or may not have pet the horse. So now we're left with Ryan. Ryan, geez, I'm guys. Sure you have a couple embarrassing stories, this. But I'm going to hand it to you, and why don't you walk us through it?
Well, you know, I've used up all my embarrassing stories on the podcast earlier. So I had to think hard. You know, I talked about the dress-up day where I dressed up as a cowboy instead of my Sunday best. That was super embarrassing. I talked about the report where I was supposed to be writing a report on the country, the modern turkey. I instead wrote it on the bird. Thank you, Mr. Rich, for that, because he got me so jazzed about birds and ducks, and that's all I could think about during social studies. But anyway, super embarrassing stories. I talked about the gold suit where I wore it at a wedding. So I've used up a lot of them. So I have to think hard, guys. So this one may not be the best, but it stuck in my mind. It was terrible, actually, at the moment. I remember... I used to draw a lot and fidget and draw. I've talked about that on the podcast before, but I drew on my desk. This is sixth grade. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's sixth grade. Fifth or sixth grade. I'm pretty sure it's sixth grade. I drew on my desk. I had as an ongoing drawing that I was drawing. It was pretty detailed. There's this girl in my class named Antoinette, and I just loved Antoinette. She was amazing. And I just thought the world of her. And, so I drew on my desk this picture of a house, like a perfect little house with a picket fence and, full on scene. I drew on my desk in pencil and it said Ryan and Antoinette TLA, true love, in this house. And it was a really good drawing. It was just all in pencil. And one time, and so one day, I knew it was, oh my gosh. So Joseph was the loudmouth of the class. Oh my gosh. So Joseph happened to see this, and he's like, wait a minute. What is this? And he's then he looked at look at that. Ryan? And Antoinette TLA, and he's telling all the class. Oh my god! Antoinette sat right in front of me, and I was crushed. I was so embarrassed. And Joseph was just like, he's all happy, funny, telling everybody. You tell people outside the class. Joseph was just going off. Oh. Man, I just remember sitting there with my eraser on the desk just going, oh, my head down. That traumatized me, man. Oh. Anyway, I was a romantic for sure, and I shouldn't have been. But, anyway. But yeah, that's my embarrassing story. I just, that stuck
That's
with
awesome.
Me. Yeah, it stuck with me. Oh. So anyway, with that being said, we got, Richie, if you don't mind, I got some mailbag from our email, some embarrassing stories that I'd like to just go over from our listeners.
I love it. Go for it.
Yes.
So, first of all, Leslie from, I think she's in Nevada, she says, I just might be the only listener that appreciated the BE and defecating procto talk. And she laughed. Ha, ha, ha. So she's shout out to Tony's story about the BE enema gone wrong, but
yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So anyway,
still smell it.
Yeah, she appreciates it. She's I think she's a proctologist. That's why she really got it. Another one. This is about. Wait, Tony, did you share another story? Because you shared a story about leaving your kid in the car. Oh, that's what this is.
Car seat.
Okay, this is a rebuttal from one of our listeners. Says, don't worry, Tony. It happens to the best of us. I'm glad your daughter was safe and no harm done. Ask Ryan, calling me out. Ask Ryan about when he left his son Jonah at the rest stop when we were traveling together in Utah. I want to say Jonah was around 7 years old.
Gosh. Yay!
Jonah was not near as traumatized as his parents were when we called them asking if they forgot anything. So apparently we left and they were still at the rest stop and then they called us. Did you guys forget anything?
Oh my goodness. I feel much better now. Thank you to that listener. Yeah. It was. I appreciate that. That was very kind of you because I felt like the world's worst dad.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And anyway, she just goes on. Getting the privilege to live in into our 50s, we get to see many mistakes from losing keys, being late for events, or even too early. It comes full circle and nobody is immune to messing up. Just last night, my son and I drove 2 hours to Irvine, Texas to watch my niece graduate. Family was flying in, and even my niece had to fly in from Arizona. It was quite a shock when we arrived at the Westin Hotel to find that there was no graduation. It's next Thursday. Keep at it.
Oh, that is the best story. Wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, thank
that
you.
That is for awesome. Yeah, anyway. Listeners, please continue to share with us. I love that stuff.
Wonderful. Stuff. Well. Guys, thanks tonight on episode 26. Let's go.
Right on.
Again, yes, listeners, please reach out. If you have any ideas for the show, you can get hold of us on hello@the80sFlophousePodcast.com. Thanks for listening in and subscribe. Please download, and we will see you on the flop side.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's blowing up.
It is.
Watch it.
The 80s. Flophouse Podcast.